Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker, your host. I am a business coach and I focus on business processes and employee retention, but I also work with businesses of all sizes. And one of the people that I count on a lot for information on trends and what's going on with small business today is Lonnie Rosales, who is the CEO of American Genius, a magazine that's dedicated to small business. She is our guest today. Welcome, Lonnie.
Hello. Thanks for having me. And I should probably say I'm the COO so I don't get in trouble from the boss who is actually the CEO.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's a lot better.
But no, thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
The American Genius is a news publication for entrepreneurs, small to medium business professionals, and we focus a great deal of energy in bringing news and tips and tricks and best practices to people that are busy, that don't really have the time to keep up with every single news story and every single trend. But if you open up theamericangenius.com, you should be able to scan the front page and click something within the first few seconds that will help you walk away with something actionable, either a new startup you didn't know about or a trend that's going on. So that's where we focus all of our efforts.
Which is fantastic because, as you said, there is so much out there. I get news aggregators every day that tell me different things, but a lot of times it just isn't applicable to entrepreneurs, freelancers, and small businesses. So, yep. What is your editorial process?
That's a good question. Everything we've built, and by we, I mean Ben Rosales, who's my husband, but at work he's very much my boss. He is one of those people that's just a great visionary. And he put together all these different ways for us to do things for ourselves. And by that, I mean when we were operating a small to medium business, we were looking around for all these same tools, and we were thinking, oh, my God, there is not anything that's either timely or relevant or concise. And so really the company was born because we needed it for ourselves. And so the editorial process is as follows. One, press releases come to us from all over the place, and I want to say maybe about 5% of them make the cut. And whenever one lands on my inbox, and I am also the news director, so I filter through all of that, when something lands in my box, I think to myself, if somebody owns a taco truck, for example, and it's just her and, you know, maybe somebody else who helps cook, and she gets up in the morning and she chops all the onions by herself and she cleans all of the vehicle and then she goes and parks where she needs to go. She cooks. She does all this stuff. This is all day. She doesn't have time to sit down and read the New York Times from cover to cover. She gets home. She spends a little bit of time with the family. And then she has an hour at night to maybe check Yelp reviews and check email. And so we want to make sure that that we're serving someone like her. Right? That somebody who we want to honor that time and make sure that they're getting something that is relevant. So if she comes and she just goes to theamericangenius.com, something on the front page is going to help her business. Now, her business is going to benefit differently than maybe like a financial advisor, right? So there's very different angles people can come from. But when we get press releases, we have to ask ourselves, does this really matter? You know what I mean? Is it important enough that somebody could take action on it or it would move the chains for somebody? So that eliminates a lot of press releases. Secondarily, we do our own investigative stories. So, for example, even though we're a national publication, we're based in Austin, and several of our staff writers are here. So, you know, we'll do various investigations into, you know, different startups or rumors that we're hearing about either, you know, funding or exits or anything like that. So, really, just the short version of the longest answer I could have possibly just given, which I did, is the editorial process is to try to keep our finger on the pulse of what really, truly matters and what can impact your business, because we could just write fluff to get clicks to, you know, make the money that way. That doesn't really serve anyone. It doesn't help anyone.
Mm-hmm. And which I understand. I mean, in the news business, a lot of times it was always drilled into me that it has to be something called Tulpata. That's what people are talking about.
Right. Well, exactly.
Yeah,
and
so,
I think that that's super important. But that's not exactly where news is today, because ratings matter, of course. So Ben, who is our CEO, he calls it lightning. If there's something that will inspire somebody or something that will help their business, then it's worthy of being published. If it's not going to change anything for anybody, then don't waste anybody's time. That's the mandate.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense, because you don't want fluff in there that's not going to help somebody concretely.
Absolutely.
So when you're looking around, I know in Austin it is really, it's hopping. I mean, when you think about how fast Austin is growing and the business environment is growing, what do you see in Austin that's different from other cities around the country, because you are a national publication, in terms of small business? Is it different? Is it growing faster, or is it pretty much the same as everywhere?
Well, I think Austin in particular is in, we're undergoing a little bit of a bruised period because City Council has made some changes. Everybody knows that Uber and Lyft were kind of run out of town. Theoretically, they could have complied and stayed, but they felt like Austin made it impossible to practice. Short-term rentals like Airbnb, HomeAway, basically all these different ways to promote the gig economy are kind of under attack. So I think Austin's somewhat of an anomaly in that way. Nationally, we're seeing the rise of the gig economy in a really big way, and that's good and bad. It's good because people who are in between employment opportunities can support themselves. It's good because people can pivot into a new industry. But, of course, it's bad because piecing together four different gig jobs can be, pretty difficult, and you really have to hustle. So, so even though the gig economy is growing, I think I would add that freelance is growing for two reasons. One, the web and how it's democratized business allows people to have more access to clients than ever before and be able to market themselves more efficiently. And so I think freelance is booming. The downside of that is a lot of people have become freelancers simply because they've given up on employment, and they've either been unemployed mm-hmm. for too long, or the opportunities aren't there, or their sector doesn't exist anymore, and that happens too. So that's what we're seeing. But the third thing I would add is what is a little bit different about Austin is that when it comes to tech and startups, the culture is really different than any other tech center. And in Austin, we don't value, a billion-dollar acquisition as much as we do, are you operating in the black? And so I think that's a little bit different mm-hmm. than, say, San Francisco, where you're personal and professional value is based on how much money you've raised. In Austin, it's a little bit more about results and are you doing something that helps the ecosystem in general. But so I think those are some specific trends that we're seeing across the nation versus Austin.
And it seems to me, too, that as you said, with the gig economy, that Austin seems to be a little bit more supportive of that gig economy, even though we're seeing statistics that say that within 20 years we're going to see that kind of business, the freelancing and solopreneur businesses, be the majority of business opportunities. It seems like Austin seems to be embracing it more quickly. What do you think?
I think it just depends on, which lobby has the most money at the time. I think the gig economy specifically is not being very well supported by regulations. However, the freelance economy is. So I think that even though gig economy, meaning like I drive for Uber and I take jobs on Fiverr, like I piece together all these little things to make up a paycheck, I don't think that that's doing as well, and that's what the data supports. But I do think Austin is extremely freelance and consultant friendly, and especially compared to 10 years ago, a great deal of jobs are presented that way. as opposed to, you know, just 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Let's focus on 10 years ago, just 10 years ago. There are a lot of consulting firms that wouldn't have been able to exist without the backbone of social media. And it's not just because they're about social media, but there are so many ancillary opportunities that didn't previously exist.
And social media, it really is. I mean, people bemoan the fact that, oh, Twitter's dying, I hate Facebook, blah, blah, blah. But really, when you look at it in the grander scheme of things, social media still is relevant, and it still is a major way for people to market themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all say that. We bitch and moan about it, but we're all still there, so we don't hate it that much. You know, if you really hate something, you don't spend time on it. And, you know, I joke about I hate Twitter, I hate Facebook, and I think there's some popularity in saying that. But really, what people are saying, if you listen to the root at what they're saying, of what they're saying, is truly that people feel pulled in a lot of different directions. And sometimes their particular industry requires them to be kind of in one place or another, and the culture in that specific area of social may not be conducive to that person's personality. So, for example, my industry is not necessarily married to LinkedIn, but if it were and I had to spend every day on LinkedIn and that was a huge part of my job, I would freaking hate it because I don't like LinkedIn personally. But so there are some people that, you know, their business, they find it actually does well on Twitter, so they have to spend time there. But on the flip side, I think people sometimes say that. What they're also saying other times is, this is a lot of work. And the truth is, all yeah. social is a lot of work. There is no magic bullet. And no matter what experts say, no matter what guru is on stage saying, if you just, you know, use this Google Chrome extension, like, you'll be a social media expert. Well, you know, I can be a fitness expert, but I'm not going to be buff unless I go do the freaking workout every single day.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and anybody can say they're an expert in something. It's when push comes to shove, you got to prove what you can do. And that's a lot of what seems to be happening in social media. It's like somebody walking in and saying, well, I started this competitor to Firefox, let's say, mm-hmm. and I make $66,000 a month. I will help you, but only if you date me. I mean, you know, really, is that, that's not valid. And so we find a lot of people who are in that realm. When you're looking at business, small business in particular, what are you seeing in terms of trends that are coming up?
Pertaining to the practice of small business?
Yes.
Sure. You know, I think simplification. And I think what we're seeing is people throwing their hands up at all of the different options that there are for finance, for productivity, for marketing, for social media. It's really overwhelming. There's a lot of information, right? And sure, I mean, we're peddling that information, so I'm not saying nobody shouldn't be informed. But I think what people are realizing is, okay, I don't need to be in all places at all times. My people are in X community, and that's where I'm going to spend the majority of my time. So, for example, the majority of our social traffic comes from Facebook. That doesn't mean we're not in, you know, using time on Twitter. That doesn't mean that we're not in any of the other social networks, but it means we're spending a lot more time in Facebook than, you know, maybe some other business. And so what I'm seeing going forward is people realizing kind of a mainstream understanding that you don't have to be all places. Because I think people look at what the, you know, experts do, right? And those of us who have been doing this since before it was even there are typically tech early adopters, right? And so we're a certain personality type that wants to try every tool, every single thing as it comes out, and vet it for ourselves and, you know, for anybody else around us that's interested and asks us. But truly, that's not really the best that's not the best use of time for businesses. And so I think you'll see going forward people understanding that, okay, I don't have to be in all places. Those are the experimenter people that are everywhere. And if you look at their profiles now, they're not active in all those places. They've chosen their different tribes too. Second, I think that even corporations are utilizing consultants more frequently. and that used to be really common and became uncommon for a long time. And so the people that are in the freelance world and the consulting world, I think, are seeing more corporate clients than one-off individual opportunities. I think that's shifting a little bit as well. I think I always go back to productivity. I think that is changing as well. Everybody understands a smartphone now. Thanks to Pokemon Go, everyone understands what augmented reality is. So there's not really any technology that people don't understand as of, like, this week. And so once you understand all of the options, or at least the thread that ties them all together, it's a lot easier to pick and choose where you spend your time, how you use these tools. They're just all little computers. And we all know computers can do a trillion different things based on what you want them to do and based on what you ask them to do. And so I think that productivity will be more and more of a focus as we all let go of the notion that we have to be all places.
Well, I think you're right. Now, you guys use they're at American Genius. You use as a productivity tool, as a team management tool, Trello. And
yes.
Trello, for those who don't know, is what I used to do when I was first in business, which is take Post-it notes and throw them up on the wall, and then I can move them all over the place and add to them and whatnot. That's what Trello is, except in an electronic version. How, for you, does that work with American Genius?
So we actually run a couple different boards, and what that means is we have our tech team on a specific board that our staff writers are not on, and vice versa. And then we have another one for just the leadership team. And really what it is, it's killed the back and forths over email. And what used to happen, right, you would start, a project, for example, and you would copy everybody that needs to be on that project, and you'd ask each other a bunch of questions and whatnot because nobody really wants to talk on the phone. And then you'd gather some sort of consensus, and then you would start assigning tasks. And really, so instead of doing that all over email, it's just in one place with, virtual sticky notes that anybody can write on or drag around and add notes to, add attachments to, add due dates, add checklists, add, videos, add anything to a specific Post-it note, right? So the way we run the newsroom, for example, our staff writers from all over the nation, we have 32 active writers, and at any time they can go in and look at the assignment pool and say, you know what, I want to write that one. They assign it to themselves, they take it off that board, and then they put it somewhere else. And then once they're done, they attach the story to go to an editor, and they drag it over to editing, and then editing grabs it. Editing edits, sends it over to art, and just drags that Post-it note to another column. So it's killed the email threads, but honestly, it's added so many hours to my work week. And I think some people would say, this means I get to take Friday off. Well, no, I'm a workaholic, so that means I get to do more work on Friday. That's great to me. But Trello or other people enjoy Slack. But there are lots of great ways to run a team, even if it's in your same office or virtual, that can really minimize all the back and forth BS. And honestly, Lori, I can tell you that has been the best tool for our productivity and for our output. Like even combining all the other tools that we implement, that one's still by far the best.
And one of the things that I do, and I recommend to my clients, is using something like Trello if you want it as simple as it can be, as even a repository for all of your data if you're working for a client. But also, it's a great way to, with the email, we get so much email, the important stuff falls out, and sometimes we can miss it. So using something like Trello or Asana or even Basecamp, which is the big Magilla of the whole thing, at least that way, you don't have all the emails. You can focus on what's important and then get to your email just a couple times a day.
Exactly. Well, and I can tell you, we've tried various tools over time, and our tech team gets Basecamp and that kind of flows, but out of all the tools that we tried, even Slack is a little too sophisticated sometimes, and so we've remained with Trello after trying all these other tools because our staff writers aren't all technologists. Some are, some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just creative writing professionals that, you know, can barely use a computer. And so the reason we stick with Trello is because anybody can open it and understand it. Sure, we give you a PDF that explains don't touch this and don't touch that because, you know, if you delete it, it's gone and nobody has it anymore. And, you know, if you write a note, everybody can see it, so please don't cuss at the boss. Like, it's not a private note. But, yeah, so that's why we stuck with it, is just because it's a such – it's the lowest learning curve. Like, like you said, if you understand Post-it notes, you already get Trello. Like, it's just a wall of Post-it notes, except for prettier.
Exactly. And for smaller businesses, it's free. And if you
mm-hmm.
want bells and whistles and you want to add more people, then you pay for it. But at the basic level, it's free, which I like too. And for my clients that are not as tech savvy, that's exactly the reason I use Trello.
Yep.
We had been talking a little bit about some events that are coming up. In addition to American Genius, you also have a very, very popular board on Facebook called Austin Digital Jobs, which is just dynamite. How many followers do you have there now?
That group has a little over 22,000 members.
Which is amazing to me. And it's such a great group of supportive people. What kind of events do you have that supports Austin Digital Jobs that are coming up?
That is a great question. Tomorrow, Wednesday the 27th, on theamericangenius.com/live, we have an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, and our guest is going to be Ashley Doyle, who has devoted her career to diversity in the workplace, and we're going to talk specifically about diversity in tech. Some people think there's a diversity issue, some don't. Some people think that there are ways forward, some don't. So we're going to talk about that, and we do regular events there and offline events, all sorts of stuff, but everything's at theamericangenius.com/live.
And then also coming in September, you have a recruiting mixer, correct?
Yes. We have our offline Austin Digital Jobs recruiting mixer, and that will be hundreds of people that want work and in the same bar because, you know, why would I throw an event anywhere but a bar? In the same bar are all sorts of companies that want to hire, so it's always fun.
And another thing that you provide that's part of this that I think is just awesome, is you provide recruiters and career coaches who can help people who are looking for a job to review their resumes, see if they're in the right seat of the bus, and kind of get their heads on straight, which was just awesome the last time.
Thanks. Yeah, we have people that are industry experts. Often they're recruiters themselves, so you may end up sitting down with somebody that could hire you. people to talk to at that event about, you know, are you going in the right direction with your career? Does your resume suck? Can we do a quick 5-minute mock interview to see if I'm any good on the spot? And everyone walks out mm-hmm. with something to improve, for sure.
What kind of rate, have you done statistics on what kind of rate you're finding people get when they belong to Austin Digital Jobs and then versus how many jobs are gotten because of ADJ?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't have those numbers, but I can tell you that all of the large players in the tech industry in Austin, as well as the large recruiting firms, they're all there, and they actively hire through the group. So I like to think that everybody in Austin Tech gets a job through ADJ, so I'm going to pretend like it's 100%. But, no, I don't have those numbers.
There you go.
I wish I did. Yeah. In my head, it's 100%.
Are you thinking – well, there you go. Are you thinking about expanding into other cities?
We have spinoffs. In other cities. So there's Austin Digital Jobs is honestly the most active and the largest, but there is also Houston Digital Jobs, Dallas Digital Jobs. Where else do we have? We have Los Angeles Digital Jobs. So there's a bunch of spinoffs, and they, you know, have the same rules and kind of the same vibe. Like I said, Austin's definitely by far the most active. But yeah, we have lots of spinoffs, and other groups have been inspired by ADJ as well, such as Austin Freelance Gigs, which is an amazing group run by Emily Leach, who founded the Texas Freelance Association. And so we kind of all, especially the Austin groups, we kind of work together. So we send people that way because we want that to be focused, and we want to focus on primarily full-time jobs and employment opportunities. And they send people our way and so on and so forth. So Austin's this great little, like, cool community. We all know each other. It seems like this big city, especially when you first move here, especially in the tech industry or whatever industry you may be in, it's not a very big city. We all know each other.
Yeah, I think it's like 2 degrees of separation instead of 6 degrees of separation.
Oh, God, yeah. Easily. Easily. Yeah, and sometimes I'll do that. You know, if I need to know somebody, LinkedIn is not as good of a resource for me personally. For other people, probably have a different experience. But because I have a very active community on Facebook, I will sometimes just go on my personal page and say, hey, does anyone know anyone at, you know, this division of Dell? And sure enough, somebody's going to have a name and email for me. But I don't know that it, mm-hmm. I don't think it really works that way in all cities. But Austin's very generous with the Rolodex.
So if somebody wants to, where can we find American Genius, first of all?
Sure, theamericangenius.com.
And on social media, is it mostly just you out there?
No, it is several of us, but I tend to be the loudest. Dennis Navely is our operations coordinator. She is, if you're talking to somebody on Twitter, that's really who you're talking to, is Jenna. If you're talking to somebody on Facebook, you're probably talking to me.
Okay. And your event tomorrow, give us that web address again.
TheAmericanGenius.com/live. And that's where you can find all of our events, whether they're past, present, or future.
And do you have events recorded that you've done?
Yes, thank goodness. Yep, so any event we've done, you can scroll down, and that way we don't have to do it again later.
So we have just a minute, and I wanted to ask you, if somebody was going to be starting business, not just here but anywhere, what are some tips, quick tips that you would give them besides going to see a shrink before they do it?
Yeah, going to see a shrink. First, acknowledging to yourself that it's hard. There is no magic bullet. A lot of people make success look so easy, but that's only because they've failed enough times to have learned from it. So I think just reminding yourself that it is going to be hard, even though there are upsides to it. It's going to take work, no matter what business it is. And secondly, tap your network. Don't be scared to ask people for either connections or whatever, but be sure that you're contributing in return. And that's no matter what tool you're using, if you're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever. But also nail your pitch. And what I mean by that is if you sell, weird little glasses or cups, well, don't just say, hey, I sell these weird little glasses and cups and here's how I make them and talk forever. In 140 characters or less, be able to tell me if I meet you at an event, you know, I design, you know, vintage, you know, prints for these line of cups, or obviously I don't know what I can come up with, that's weird, but be able to say very specifically what you do. And also in the back of your mind, always have an ask. Never ask somebody, will you buy my such and such? When you're networking either online or in person, which do it in person as much as you possibly can. Go to every networking event in your city. But have your ask, your secondary. You know, I'm working on such and such project. Do you know anybody that does such and such? Or do you know anybody that is in the media? Do you know any, you know what I mean? So always have a pitch mm-hmm. and always have a secondary ask in mind. Remember that business is hard no matter who you are, but just always, the last thing I would add is always keep your eyes and ears open. Read things like The American Genius. Read your industry-specific blogs and news sites. And just keep up to date. That will always be your competitive advantage, is knowing what's coming before your competitor does.
Thank you so much, Lonnie. I appreciate you being here. And I hope you'll come back.
I will. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, we've been talking with Lonnie Rosales from the American Genius. It's American Genius AmericanGenius.com, TheAmericanGenius.com. I'm Lori Liker with Small Biz Coaching, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Good night.